punt earlier. It's not about that time. Two on the shot clock. One.
Looking for the lead. We're in the final minute. Curry got it! With the ball in his hands here. Look how off balance he gets John Flowers. I mean, he has got him on a string, and that's his shot credibility. So you know that he's
with the ball. Sander with it. Curry is out there. And Paulus Gasol. There's a... If they need to be patient, they can. That time a quick shot, though, is hoisted by Strawberry. Curry, what a pass inside! Counted for two on a spectacular play by the freshman Stephen Curry.
Richard triggering the inbounds pass. Curry looking for his first basket, and he's got the three.
And turns it over this time. This young man can see. That's a big-time pass right there over a defender. He makes it. Trips right over his teammate, Archambault. Curry with a bounce pass to Loveday. Now they get tangled. Archambault. And defenders trailing him. That draws Ebanks over, and he's able
to get his own miss and does reel it in. Curry for three. And Davidson has taken another lead of one.
He's on the part of Steph Curry with another steal. Smith creates the space and knocks down to knock down some shots. He's long and athletic, but he hasn't been shooting well. And now the Mountaineers get to meet down the floor. Andrew Loveday when he's playing defense. Right out, Joe Mazzulla back in. Curry knocks down a long two. He's got seven. And he can just come down. There's a little switch and reach, but you got to stay with him. You cannot leave the ball when Stephen Curry has it in his hand. He can step back. You can see Mazzulla just getting going the wrong way. And, well, you know, one thing Stephen Curry has that zooming the ball. Nice back pass. Curry for three. Well, that shows a player that understands how to get open.
Cardiovascular system on overload.
Over Strawberry at three. Another one put in by this sensational freshman, Curry.
You have to go to their place. So this has been excellent for Davidson.
Curry, that's a big three. He's got 20. Curry able to get away from David McClure and knock it down.
First college of there. They should have a center court cage match to decide who's the next head coach at Duke.
Him to go inside a little bit early to try to get off.
Stephen Curry wanted to see how warm the water was. Phillips with a rebound off the miss. Here's Curry. Nice pass to Allison. And he rings the bell against the foul.
Time. Now Curry. Step back off the dribble. Got it. Big time player. Steph Curry.
Remember, you take Curry. He's got a rush on him. We talked about it at the beginning of the podcast. He's going to see
Kansas liking.
Curry again.
Wait. Did I say Kansas liking?
Yo, what up, Rob? Hope you're doing well, brother. Steph Curry, number 30. All-time great point guard. Arguably the greatest shooter ever. At least top three for me in my years of watching basketball behind Reggie Miller and Ray Allen. As a point guard, he changed the game. The reason the NBA is played the way that it's played right now, to where every guy on the court is shooting three-pointers, is because of Steph Curry. I might not necessarily be a fan of that style of basketball, but when you look at what he did in his career, coming into the league as the guy that wasn't viewed as the best point guard from the year he was drafted, two-time league MVP, four-time NBA champion, first ballot Hall of Famer, probably a top 5 to top 10 point guard. Steph Curry, man. That's all I got to say. Peace, brother.
Welcome, everybody, to the latest edition of the Legends of Sports and Music. This is your host, the OG Rob Silver, and today we are taking a look at the Apple TV Plus documentary, Stephen Curry, Underrated. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't do a thorough look at the life of Steph Curry in just an hour and 50 minutes. So what the documentarians did with this episode, with this documentary, is that they split it in half. They juxtaposed his early life as a ball player, middle school, high school, college, with the 2022 championship run with the Golden State Warriors. Because you really can't do justice to Steph Curry's career in a less than 2 hour documentary. If you really want to take a look at Steph Curry's life in a docu-series, in a documentary, no less than 5 episodes. No less than 5 episodes. I mean, I know Jordan had 10. LeBron's going to easily have 10 to 15. Steph deserves anywhere from 5 to 10 episodes of his life, of his career, as, in my opinion, the greatest shooter in the history of the NBA. And one of the three most influential basketball players that ever lived. I started the podcast off with highlights of his college career, because we'll be focusing on that a lot throughout this episode, because this episode is reviewing the documentary of Underrated, and it really took an extensive look at his college career at Davidson College. Also, my Detroit-born and Chattanooga brother, Kobe, started off with the first voice note. We got a few more to play later on in the podcast. And in just a little bit over a minute, he broke down real quickly why Steph is one of the greatest basketball players of all time. Like Kobe said, he wasn't considered the best point guard coming out of college. Hence, the apropos name of the documentary, Underrated. The documentary begins with Steph breaking the three-point record that was once held by Reggie Miller. And you know, Reggie Miller was a great shooter, without a doubt. But that's all Reggie Miller really could do. Reggie Miller was a great shooter. He couldn't defend the side of a fucking backboard. He wasn't even the best basketball player in his family. Reggie Miller is not a pimple on Steph Curry's ass when it comes to overall greatness, when it comes to being an overall basketball player. Steph Curry is a tremendous defender. He's led the league in steals before. Steph Curry is an incredible passer and he drives to the basket. Reggie Miller had to rely on picks, and being that he was much taller than most two guards guarding him, Steph Curry was always short for a guy playing the way he plays. That's why I've always compared him to Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, the formerly known as Chris Jackson. And this is the second Steph Curry tribute podcast I've done. I did one with my brother Thomas, my nephew Thomas, earlier in the series. You can go ahead and check that out if you want to. For an entire thorough breakdown of Steph Curry's career, it's on this platform, Steph Curry Part 1. This is Steph Curry Part 2, a review of the Apple TV Plus documentary, Steph Curry Underrated. And it showed great archival footage of him with his father, shooting in the background with his mother, Sonia. Kudos to Sonia and Dell for both giving interviews, even though they're not together anymore, about their son and talking glowingly about each other, despite the fact that their marriage ended both publicly and bitterly. By the way, Steph's cousins, that the young women that they were talking to, beautiful. I mean, it's just such a beautiful family the Curry family is, from his cousins, his mom, of course, his wife Aisha, and his beautiful children. And also, the documentary would also show Steph being a father. Steph Curry, you could not ask for two greater role models in sports the last 15 years than Steph Curry and LeBron James. They play the game the right way. They live immaculate, controversy-free lives. They are great black men. They are great black fathers. Everything they do about their lives center around black culture. That's why I've always put LeBron and Steph on a pedestal when it comes to great sportsmen. They are great sportsmen. They are great men. They are great fathers. They are great husbands, period. And shout out to LeBron's wife and Steph's wife for being great mothers and great role models as well to their respective families. So that also comes from Steph being raised by loving parents. You could tell that Dell and Sonia were always into whatever Steph and his younger brother Seth were doing as far as playing basketball, and they attended all the games. You know, Dell Curry was at a time when Steph started high school and college, it was perfect timing for Dell, his father, because Dell's NBA career had ended. And so Dell can spend his entire post-career playing, post-playing career, focusing on developing both Steph and Seth Curry's game. Dell Curry, one of the greatest pure shooters in the history of the sport. Dell Curry made Reggie Miller look like Steph as far as skill level, because all Dell Curry could do was shoot. He wasn't a passer. He wasn't a defender. Dell Curry, especially with the Charlotte Hornets, relied on picks and hitting that brilliant jump. Dell Curry had a beautiful jump shot, and he's one of the greatest pure shooters that ever lived. You put his ability to shoot and combine it with Steph's natural athletic ability, natural speed, and you form a player that I say is Allen Iverson with a great jump shot. And you see a lot of Allen Iverson and you see a lot of Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf in Steph Curry's style. They show Steph telling his parents that he wants to become an NBA ball player. So both Dell and Sonya, his parents, tell him, you got to work hard. And they talk about, and they show footage of Steph being forced to shoot over and over again. Despite the fact that he had a great high school career and he began to get taller, eventually he would become 6'3". Steph got rejected by Virginia Tech, his mother and father's alma mater. All Steph wanted to do was follow in his parents' footsteps. Both his parents were legendary athletes at Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech told Dell and Sonya, no. He's not good enough to make the team. What? So, Davidson College, and shout out to Coach McCollop, him and his assistant coaches went out to the Curry's home, and they had a rapport with the parents and Steph, and Steph right away said, Davidson is where I'm going to play. And they showed his very first game, I believe it was against Eastern Michigan, in which Steph turned the ball over 13 times. And then the next game will be against Michigan, Powerhouse University, Davidson College, small college. McCollum made a huge decision that would impact Steph, as Steph mentioned this in the documentary, for the rest of his career until this point. He decided to start Steph in game two, even though as a freshman in his very first game, Steph had a very horrible, hideous game. One of the worst games you can ever have for a debut in any type of sport. 13 turnovers. Steph was incredible in his second game and proved to McCollum that he made the right decision going after and recruiting and giving this young man a four-year scholarship. They show highlights from his freshman year. A team that wasn't picked to do anything, they found a way to make it to the NCAA tournament as the 13th seed. Curry, freshman is akin to being a rookie in the NBA. In his freshman year, he led the Southern Conference scoring with 21.5 points per game. Only Kevin Durant had a greater freshman year that year in scoring, as Steph was the number two freshman scorer in the country that year, only behind KD. Things come full circle because him and KD would wind up being a huge part of the Warriors' two championships back-to-back when they were together. Also, ladies and gentlemen, at the beginning of the documentary, when Curry broke the record in Madison Square Garden for most three-point shots ever made, KD, who was playing with the Brooklyn Nets at the time, showed up. And after the game, showed up in the Golden State locker room to congratulate Steph, and you see the camaraderie that Steph and KD still have despite the fact they're no longer teammates, despite the rumors that people claim, the media claim, that KD left Golden State because he was tired of being the second banana to Steph Curry. By the way, KD, had you not left Golden State, Curry would already have five, maybe six championships. You fucked up, KD, because I don't think you're ever going to win another championship. They show they show in the NCAA tournament. I'm trying to remember now. They played the University of Maryland. And Curry scored 30 points despite them losing. They were 13th seed. Maryland was the 4th seed. But Curry, in his freshman year, proved McCollum right that he made the right decision to recruit and make the focal point of his team, a freshman from Charlotte, North Carolina, named Steph Curry. We are now going to hear a voice note from my nephew, Thomas. Thomas had co-hosted part one of the Steph Curry documentary with me. Then we're going to play some highlights again from his college playing days. And then we will continue with the review of this incredible documentary.
Wardell Stephen Curry. Man, I knew he was going to be special the first time I seen him play. You know, it's funny. I had seen him play at Davidson, but I wasn't like a fan yet. And then, you know, a few years later, I started playing, like really getting into NBA 2K. And, you know, I would always, you know, play with the Warriors. And he was on there, and it was when they had just drafted Klay. I still wasn't watching basketball, like, faithfully like I watch it now. But I knew some of the players. So I just knew him and Klay could shoot. So that was kind of like my introduction to the Splash Brothers. You know, playing with them on the game, making every three-point shot. It wasn't until, I would say, when he dropped 54 on the Knicks that I fully became a fan, fully became invested. So, yeah, a decade ago. I was in Buffalo Wild Wings with my mom. This is before the Madison Square Mall got shut down back where I'm from. And that's where we always used to go for Buffalo Wild Wings because that was the only one. When we walk in, I look up. I just look at the score, and then it just showed Curry's stats on the screen. I was like, oh, that's Stephen Curry. He got 54. Look, Mom, look. And I watched the game to the end, and after that, I was like, yeah, I think I'm a Warriors fan. Because up until that point, I didn't never have a team. My favorite player was Allen Iverson. So, you know, I've been on this roller coaster with them for 10 years, man. You know, I didn't watch this man go from being, you know, at first he was really a traditional point guard playing with Mark Jackson. And then it wasn't until Steve Kerr came around, even though Curry was already, you know, hitting his prime in the last year of Mark Jackson's tenure, that Curry actually got unleashed. You know, you start seeing more volume. You start seeing him get more explosive. You know, he gets flack for not being a point guard, but his first MVP season, he averaged 8 assists. You know, the year before that, he averaged almost 9. While scoring 24 both years. You know, people always, you know, talk about his unanimous MVP season because, you know, rightfully so, 50 points. I mean, 50% from the field, 45% from three, which is basically like shooting 50% because he was shooting 5 threes and making, I mean, he's shooting 10 threes and making like, what, 4.5 of them? So, but the year before, he shot 47% from the field and 45% from three. So it wasn't like nothing really new. He just upped his scoring by 6 points, upped his percentage by 3 points. But, man, you know, to see people criticize him about not being a point guard and just to see him be able to naturally play make just by his off-ball game, you know, and actually be able to play make while playing on ball, as we just saw in the playoffs. You know, he has accomplished everything he needs to accomplish, and I think he still has something left in the tank. And you know, he's already, to me, the best point guard ever. You know, everybody would say Magic, okay, you know, rightfully so. But at the same time, somebody could counterpoint that Curry play makes just as well as Magic, but in his own way, more dynamically. So, you know, coming up on this documentary, underrated, you know, a lot of people was giving it shit because, you know, he's not underrated. Well, he actually was. Coming out, they said he didn't have the size to make it in the pros. He was too small to play the two. He took a lot of bad shots. And, you know, a lot of people thought he wouldn't last in the league. You know, it kind of gets overblown that he was riddled with injuries. He only had, like, one season where he only played a few games besides, I think it was 2019. And both were, you know, the only times he really got hurt. Ever since then, you know, he's pretty much shattered all expectations anybody ever had for him. He has no ceiling at this point. And it's just like he's always underrated because even now people just call him the greatest shooter ever, greatest three-point shooter ever. They're even trying to, like, minimize that, greatest three-point shooter ever. When in reality, he's probably the best 20-point-per-game scorer to ever live. He's already the most efficient. He's shooting 47% from the field, 43 from three, and 92 from the free throw line. You know, you think about Jordan. Jordan never shot 90% from the free throw line. He shot 40% from three once. LeBron shot 40% from three once. Never shot over, 80-something from the free throw line. KD doesn't shoot 90% from the free throw line every year. He doesn't shoot 40% from three every year. So it's just like, it's just, this dude has the finishing percentages of centers while being able to score at a high volume and still just be efficient. And people still only try to limit him to his shooting as if, you know, he's just like Joe Harris. And that's why he'll always be underrated, never overrated, and go down as the best point guard ever.
The brackets were released on Sunday. We saw this game. We identified it as really one of the more intriguing first-round matchups. What do you see here with Davidson?
Well, what you see right here is Stephon Curry, one of the premier shooters in all of the country. He had 7 for 15 threes on this very floor. There's a guard. Curry.
Takes advantage and knocks it down from three. 18 points for Curry, ties a career high. Curry's got another one.
And Jim, watch his feet. Now that was a very difficult position to get yourself into to be able to get that shot off, but he squares up those feet. Beautiful.
Left hand back to the hole and one.
That's a playground shot right there. Soft touch this young man has.
What an adjustment.
Unbelievable. Watch this. Moves it to the left hand. Uses his shoulder to move the defender. Terrific play. How did he push it to the end, Jim? Had no chance to block the shot. Puts an outstanding free throw shooter on the line. Good steal by Kirk.
Said, hey, we just missed on this guy. You know, coming out of high school, not recruited by ACC schools. And here he is, one of the premier players in the country without question. On the jump shot.
Here he is. Can he hit this one? And one. It could be the 4-point play.
That was brilliant recognition by Richards. Curry was trapped down underneath the basket on that last drive by Macklin, but Richards had the presence of mind to realize that the great shooter was coming behind him. That was really smart.
Second on Rivers. And Curry, who made more threes than any player in the nation this year, can make it a rare four-point play. Two. Curry whips it inside, loved it easily again, but it's a seven-point game. They have to go. On the floor, he makes the steal. And this crowd has come to life.
That was against Wallace. Now, Wallace is down. Curry was without a man for a second. Richards and Curry used to playing right at 34 minutes a game. He'll make that one.
Best look of the day.
He will make that one.
That's the best look he's had all afternoon.
You give him that shot, Jim, and it won't even touch the rim.
Timeout, Georgetown.
Jim, I think that Georgetown ought to just camp him down inside. Beautiful pass.
Lob down, makes it a two-point game.
Curry can do more than shoot. He had eyes in the back of his head on that one. You know the form is better than that, but you have to look at the fact. Nice backdoor cut.
And one for Curry. What a pass.
All day long, Curry has been coming out of that set across the top looking for a screen. He goes backdoor. And how about that pass by the number one assist man in the country, Jason Richards? Look at this look. Tremendous. Curry may be a little stronger than we give him credit for, Jim, because he had to power that ball in.
They'll bring him back. Coming off 40 points on Friday. What a nifty move. Little dip. Oh! Highlight.
Well, we said he had 40 the other day, 30 in his other NCAA tournament game as a freshman last year against Maryland. Shut down for a while today, but not now.
What a stretch of action this has been. Texas escaping with a win as a two seed. Tennessee a two in trouble. Here's Curry. Oh, my goodness. Another three.
Behind the back to get rid of Wallace. Then he shoots right over the top of Rivers, who never anticipated he'd release it.
Oh, that ball was tapped and Wright stepped back in from the out of bounds. They thought it was a turnover from the Davidson bench. From the Georgetown bench, they're taking a timeout. The two in the Midwest is in serious jeopardy after losing a 17-point second-half lead. Unbelievable 17-point comeback behind Stephen Curry. The star of this stage delivers again.
Look at that offensive rebound by Thomas Gosselin. Curry fires, and that's one down. Stephen Curry with 13 points. 50 with the ball. Great vision, Curry, off the window, and in. Landry with six, Curry lets it go again. And coach, it's just a little bit of daylight, just a sliver.
That's all he needs,
just like his old man. Crap it off, strip, picked up, Richards, he's got Curry on the way. He's gonna spot up, there he goes. Oh, and that's a fly again.
Second half and make it 29.
Well, this has been the Stephen Curry show. Which game in the NCAA tournament thus far hasn't been the Stephen Curry show? And he's demonstrated again, not only is he a pure shooter, but he's fearless going into the lane with a variety of acrobatic shots.
Curry around the screen, inside, left door. Wow, what a play. There you see the wizardry. Stephen Curry as he put that one right into the hands of Lovedale underneath off the dribble.
How about this?
The Davidson Wildcats advance 73-56 over Wisconsin. And they are heading to the final eight. They can match up above the rim with Cam. Was Curry pick and roll, gets in the paint. And he's fouled. How about quick release by Stephen Curry? First of all, sweet handle behind the back to split the D. Take a look at it right here. Little fake right there, splits the D with the behind the back, quick release, and just barely misses that.
Curry again, this time Chalmers guards him. Puts it on the floor, to the bucket, left hand spot!
Going up and down a couple times. This is more up to Kansas' liking.
Curry again.
Yeah. Did I say Kansas' liking?
17-13, Davidson.
Kansas able to push the ball up the floor, but right back at you. Curry with the drive, and we've said it over and over again, just fearless. But that behind-the-back dribble gets him through the defense. And the last bucket, he just runs down the sideline, and we'll talk about that throughout the evening. Running down the sideline, kind of getting lost in transition.
Backdoor Curry got a good look. Knocks it down, and he hits his first shot of the second half. 17 points now for Curry. Sander hit one in the first half from the top of the key. Curry again. Oh!
Rush may not be quick enough to get to Curry, and that length won't bother Curry if it's slow.
And that's a three. He has 20. Now Curry. Step back off the dribble. Count it. Big time player. Remember? Steph Curry. Curry lets it go. And buries it. 54 seconds to play. Timeout. 59-57.
I'm glad that Thomas sent in that voice note talking about Steph's NBA career up until when he won his first championship and his first MVP, because the one thing I want to fault this documentary on, the biggest negative I have about this documentary, is it's too damn short, and it fast forwards through his entire pro career up until the 2022 finals run. But before we get into that, one last thing I want to say about Thomas' voice note. He hit exactly what the documentary is claiming why Steph is underrated. His size. Going into the 2007-2008 NCAA season, Steph just then, grew into what he is today, 6'3". And he had the face of a little child. He had a baby face. If it wasn't for the beard he's wearing today, he'd still have a baby face. Steph Curry was 19 years old going into the 2007-2008 Davidson College basketball season as a sophomore, 19-year-old sophomore in college, with a baby face. Now, he had grown a couple more inches, but he still looked like he was 12. He looked like a 6'3", 13-year-old, such a baby face. But he wasn't a baby face on the court. 2007-2008, the documentary focuses on that season. They talk about how they started at 4-6, yet Coach McKillop kept the team focused, kept the team from falling apart, and then all of a sudden, they went on a 22-game winning streak. They didn't lose another game the rest of the regular season and into the Southern Conference tournament. 26-6, and they get the 10th seed in the NCAA 2008 tournament. Game one, they face perennial powerhouse Gonzaga. Gonzaga, year in and year out, despite the fact that they're still considered a mid-major, always does noise in the NCAA tournament because they are a basketball team that continues to play fundamentally sound basketball. Everybody touches the ball. They play zone defense. They play tough, tenacious defense. You go onto the court thinking, yeah, we're going to run them over, and they wind up running you over. Well, Steph, in the 2008 NCAA tournament, as shown throughout this documentary, as a documentary mostly focused in on his college career, especially 2007-2008, before the tournament started, Curry had a remarkable season. He averaged 25.5 points a game. What was striking to me was he only averaged 2.8 assists a game. Thomas mentioned how when he first came into the NBA, he was more of a traditional point guard. And being that Mark Jackson was his coach before Steve Kerr took over, before the 2014-2015 season, Mark Jackson, being an all-time great point guard, was a pass point guard first. And so he was trying to make Steph more into a pass-first point guard. And Steph does whatever the coach asks him to do. Steph is a coach's dream, as Bob McCallop mentioned, as his high school coach. And let me make sure I get his high school coach's name correct, because I don't want to, Sean Brown. Sean Brown and Bob McKillop loved coaching Steph, because even though Steph has this amazing natural ability and incredible speed, work ethic, and usually is the best basketball player on the court when he's playing, he doesn't disagree with what the coach tells him to do. He does whatever the coach tells him to do. And so when Mark took over Golden State, and you don't see this in the documentary, I'm just talking about what Thomas was talking about in his voice note and what I remember. He played according to Mark Jackson's system. Like Thomas mentioned, it wasn't until Steve Kerr took over that he allowed Steph to freelance more, and Steph became more of an explosive scorer. The talent was already there. And Kerr probably remembered what Curry did in his college career. Curry was an explosive guard. Curry's college career reminded me of Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf when he was known as Chris Jackson's college career, where he was an explosive scorer, an unstoppable force. You couldn't stop him when he drove to the lane, and you couldn't stop him from shooting threes, a la Chris Jackson, a.k.a. Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf. So, in the first game of the tournament against perennial NCAA tournament powerhouse Gonzaga, Steph put on a clinic. Steph put on a mother effing clinic in that game. I believe, what was he? What did he wind up scoring in that game? 40 points. 8 of 10 from three-point range as they beat Gonzaga 82-76. And they showed McCallop and the rest of the Davidson team just amazed with what Curry was doing. And then you saw in the documentary how the town that Davidson College was in an uproar. It was Davidson College fever, and ESPN picked up on it. It was now that Steph Curry was first brought into the national spotlight, and now people were watching this 19-year-old with the face of a 12-year-old just killing everybody on the court. Second round, they went up against Georgetown. Georgetown had one of the best centers in college back then, Roy Hibbert. And Georgetown had come off a Final Four season the year before. And Curry got off to a bad start. Bad start. Only scored 5 points in the first half. Georgetown built up early in the documentary show a 17-point lead early in the second half. And kudos to Bob McKillop. He kept smiling and he kept telling his team, look, we'll start making our shots. Just Steph, keep taking your shots. Steph scores 25 points. Davidson comes all the way back to win by 4 points. they advanced to the third round, where they destroyed Wisconsin. Curry scores 33 points. And now, in Detroit, Michigan, Ford Field, the regional finals, with the winner goes to the Final Four, they face perennial powerhouse Kansas. Now, look, this wasn't an easy bracket that Davidson were in the 2008 NCAA tournament. They faced perennial NCAA tournament powerhouse Gonzaga, beat them. They faced a historically great college, and who was in the Final Four the year before, Georgetown, with Roy Hibbert, the monster center that was blocking shots galore and dominating in the paint. They won. They then beat Wisconsin, and now they're facing Kansas, the top seed in the regional. They're down by five late. Curry hits a three. They cut it to two, and then they get the ball back with 16 seconds left. They inbound the ball to Curry, and Curry brings it up, and Curry had an opportunity to take a shot early in the shot clock, but he wanted to milk it down to the last second, probably from what his coach told him to do. And when Kansas saw that Curry wasn't going to shoot right away, they damn near triple teamed him, forcing him to give it up to his teammate. And I'd rather if Curry would have taken a shot early in the shot clock than his teammate who hit the side of the rim. He was way off. Kansas holds on to win. And the Cinderella run of Davidson comes to an end. Curry still scored 25 points in that game, but I wish he would have taken that shot. Today, he wouldn't give the ball to anybody. Today, he's taking that shot. So, then the documentary skips the entire 2008-2009 season. They go straight to April of 2009 when he declares for the draft. And now, another thing that this documentary focused on, because they interviewed his mother, and his mother said that she got on him about him not graduating from college, and that he has tried several times since to try and graduate from college. So they showed him doing remote studying, going to internet college, having an advisor and a professor talk to him through the laptop, through Zoom meetings, to try and finish his college degree as a promise he made to both his mother, his father, and his grandmothers. They kept juxtaposing between his college career and his NBA career. Now, they fast forward through his entire college run. But before they do that, when he's drafted, he's throughout the early part of his career, he's constantly criticized by NBA commentators like the clown Bill Simmons, like the goofball Stephen A. Smith. Oh, he's too small. Oh, he's too skinny. Oh, he's not big enough. Oh, he cannot dominate. And harking back to Thomas's voice note, underrated. He was underrated since day one because he was considered too small, too frail, too fragile to be an all-time great. And he has proven the skeptics and the critics wrong over and over and over again. And the biggest proof was the 2022 NBA playoffs. He had an ankle injury that kept him out most of the second half of the season, but he came back during the playoffs and he put on a whirlwind performance. It's the reason why I did a podcast on his career last year with Thomas, the guy who sent in the voice note, because of that incredible run he did in the 2022 NBA playoffs, leading Golden State to their fifth championship overall and the fourth as the star of the team. This documentary showed the grittiness, the determination of Steph Curry. It showed why he's so beloved. Hey, during the NCAA tournament, they were such a huge story that LeBron James went and got 8 tickets for him and his boys to go watch Steph. And I love they show that because since Kobe and Tim Duncan's prime ended, the two best players in the NBA by leaps and bounds have been LeBron James and Steph Curry. Nobody else is in the conversation. I don't want to hear about Giannis. KD can't win with anybody without having stars around him. Steph and LeBron have led teams to championships when they were the best team on that championship. Giannis did it, but he only did it once. Right? Don't even fucking talk about Luka Doncic. All right? The Joker could one day be in a conversation and be the third best player of this era. But the two best players of this era, and it's not even close, is LeBron and Steph. Period. End of story. But we all knew LeBron was going to be special when he was in high school. Nobody was talking about Curry. It makes Curry's achievements even more amazing because he wasn't a blue chip prospect coming out of high school. His parents, alma mater, didn't even want to look at him. They told his parents, no, we don't want him. He's too small. He's too skinny. He's not good enough. So this documentary gives you an insight into what drives Steph, but it falls short in several ways. First and foremost, it gives you an incomplete picture of his NBA pro career. All right? You need at least a 5-part series on Steph's NBA career alone. It talked about his parents as him growing up, as him developing to a basketball player, but they don't talk about how his parents met. They don't talk about how after several years, after over 30 years of marriage, his parents separated and divorced. It doesn't talk about how he met his wife, Aisha. They showed her when he was drafted by the Warriors, the night he was drafted in 2009. And they showed her in the house on a few occasions, but they didn't delve into the relationship, how they met, why Aisha, along with LeBron's wife, are great role models for black women throughout the United States. That's where the documentary falls short. It fast forwards through their record season of 73 wins, through the collapse when they were up 3-1 in the finals against LeBron and the Cavs. It doesn't even give you Kevin Durant's accomplishments, the dynamic between KD and Steph. It doesn't tell you about the great camaraderie and the brotherhood between Klay, Steph, and Draymond. I need that for a Steph Curry documentary to be complete. So, the documentary falls short when it gives you the complete picture of Steph Curry. It only focuses on his hunger, his determination, and what makes him be the best he can be. But it doesn't give you the complete picture of Steph Curry as a man. Steph Curry is a great man. And I need an entire 5 to 10 part documentary talking about his upbringing, talking about his parents, how Dell met Sonya, how from day one, Dell worked with Seth and Steph on their game. How after he left college to go to the NBA, the trials and tribulations he had with the ankle, how he kept getting hurt, the surgery, and then his relationship with Mark Jackson. Mark Jackson getting fired and Steve Kerr coming in and his relationship with Steve Kerr. Ladies and gentlemen, his relationship with Steve Kerr is the same as his relationship with Bob McKillop. Bob McKillop got a lot of airtime as they focused primarily on his college career, juxtaposed with his playoff run. And even in the 2022 playoff run, they don't give you an extensive look of that entire playoffs. They give you bits and pieces, highlights. So of all the sports documentaries that have come out the last couple of years, I'm disappointed because we could have gotten a lot more than the 1 hour and 50 minutes Steph Curry Underrated gave you. Now, Would I recommend this documentary? Yes, especially to the casual sports fan or to the sports fan that doesn't know much about Steph Curry's background. But if you want a complete detailed look into his life, they've got to come back and do a Magic Johnson-like multi-part series, a Michael Jordan-like multi-part docuseries. They have to do that. And Steph Curry deserves that as being one of the two greatest players since he came into the league. Period. End of story. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to play some more highlights. This from his 2022 playoff run. Then we're going to play a voice note from my Ugandan brother, Kevin. And then I'm going to come back with some final words and a final voice note on the other side.
Hey man, how you doing, man? How you been? How's your life, you know, going on? How's the new family, man? How you settling in? You know, that's one of those questions that, you know, I think experience probably teaches that you might not get from just theoretically trying to understand the situation, you know, like moving on from one particular idea of family to a whole new one, you know. And it's definitely still the same love, or at least particularly maybe this is a completely overthought greeting, to simply say, you know, greetings to everyone. Sorry for the delay, but yeah, Stephen Curry. You see, I think what's most remarkable about him, or why we fall in love with particular athletes and what they do, is the story behind. And I'm a writer myself, I'm an author, a reader, you know, voraciously. And it's the story that makes the difference. Scrawny kid comes out of Davidson. He's not the most accepted athletically to play the position, but yet the system that could come out of using his talents, which would be a big bet, would be too good to pass on. Huge bet for everyone involved. But another thing about it, it's his mentality to continue proving someone wrong. And that's the most inspiring thing about an athlete of Stephen Curry's kind. It goes without say. Now, straight into the basketball, alongside the story to create some context, you know. I've been thinking, there's so much statistical data out there, you know, but people struggle with the contextual bit. Is what differentiates greatness. I mean, you can't tell me Iverson is not great. I mean, because it doesn't have a statistical category of title with a one, you know. It's more of the story, what the player meant, what his play means, what changing the game really means. And for changing the game alone, to me, a certified legend. You've left a print on the game. I mean, look at players like Carmelo. I'm not saying he's changed the game or nothing of that grand sort, but he's a legendary basketball player. I mean, we all watched Melo. Nothing is sweeter than a Melo jump shot, you know. But with Steph Curry, it's all that and a ton of success, you know. From the story standpoint, where he is this kid that's doubted, underrated, always been underrated. He's always come up against something a bit bigger Although, you know, if you talk about him and KD, that's quite, you know, probably not as true. But still, he's always played against something that's a bit bigger. And that is the story or the logical aspect, you know, of things. Of looking at Steph and say, oh, he's smaller than all the other PGs. He's not as strong. I don't think he's as tough. The light-skinned stereotype. And he's all there to prove all that. Against Boston in Game 4 is when he had this I'm him moment. That everyone got to say, oh, Steph's actually him. We've been messing with the wrong light-skinned boy. When he took over the game. And I think one of the courtside celebrities, I'm not so sure with the names, sort of when it was tied and Steph Curry made that shot, then he went and talked to the crowd. And this guy said, oh shit, this time you've got to do it yourself. And Steph Curry said, I already am. Like, he was already switched on. That's the kind of mentality I'm talking about. Because story-wise is this guy that everyone's talking, so much talk, but people don't realize the value of a ring. I mean, I've not watched a basketball finals in so long where everything goes right. I mean, if everything goes right, then that's a fucking tie. Something has to be different. Something has to go wrong. To be a champion, you don't just have to play good basketball. So 2015, he wins that remarkably with a season that could actually be one of the greatest that we've watched. Like, if you just put the statistics aside, because I said, let's try to talk about the story. Try to say what we've done, the greatness of an athlete. Try to approach it from the standpoint that's not statistical. You know, I mean, when people talk about Jordan and they say, oh, he has 6 rings, 10, this and that. That's the statistical bit. But how did it feel watching Hakeem? You know, how did it feel watching Jordan, Larry Bird? That's the greatness I'm talking about. The one that's transcending the statistical components. Because you'll find them everywhere. It's the context that I'm trying to create here for the listeners. The context, he's probably, in my opinion, he's been the most exciting player to watch in basketball for close to 8 years for me. I mean, I'm not saying it's not been exciting to watch the other talents, but not as Steph. It's just not as ridiculously consistent as Steph. His warm-up drills themselves alone. I mean, you could make a compilation for days. You could make a compilation, and it's ridiculous shot-making of an ability that's video game-like. You know, and he's doing this while playing with the game. Well, interacting with the game. I'm a huge soccer fan, and obviously everyone's now, you know, into it. Lionel Messi joining, you know, Miami brings a bit of the PR. But if you watch up, there was a player, Ronaldinho was his name. He was Brazilian, and he was playing the game. Playing the game, like he's having a great time. He's losing himself in it. You know, like when you watch Federer and you say, oh, it looks like watching ballet. He's lost in it. There's, you know, a sort of zen moment, you could call it, if you're lost in activity. Say, particularly if you are, you know, doing something you love, you know, and you're just lost in it, then your genius starts to flow spontaneously. Now that's Stephen Curry. That's how watching him feels like. He makes things up during warm-up drills just to shoot the ball into the net from an outrageous angle. You know, that's really audacious. But the most audacious thing that I've been trying to point out is how he relies on the three-point shot. He's relied onto it to become the greatest point guard, arguably the greatest point guard, in my opinion, by far the greatest, you know, by far the most exciting I've experienced. I didn't experience Magic as much. And I wouldn't be mad to say he's my greatest point guard. The consistency with how he relies on, before him, a shot that was not reliable. Like, it was crazy. You had to be perfect with your jump shot. It's much more efficient that way for a player. But this guy relies on distance shooting. It's amazing. It's amazing. Remember Scrawny Kid? Not of a kind of physique, sort of underrated, still doing something impossible, but in a fun way, explosively going against the odds. I mean, he went against LeBron James, quite arguably one of the greatest of all time, too. The odds, I'm not trying to say, have never been in his favor, but they sort of have not been in his favor either. It's always been him standing up to something, a consistent or constant David Goliath situation, especially physique-wise, and what the media would portray. He's got his flowers after the Celtics, the kind that I think he deserves. But before that, he kind of had to prove it on and on, and he had three rings, but people would say, oh, Steph has something to prove, and that's ridiculous. I mean, there shouldn't be a star with three championships, three rings, that doing it thrice, that needs to prove something. Steph still had, because in people's minds, he sort of had not yet made whatever, you know, made it to whatever limit they thought he wouldn't reach. But watching again the Warriors organization make that gamble and build a system that's dominated the game for a very, very, very considerably long time speaks of something. I mean, the system helps Stephen Curry be Stephen Curry. But Stephen Curry is the system. It happens in so many sports that need an orchestrator. An orchestrator plays for the orchestra plays for the orchestra. But he is the orchestra. You get what I mean? And Steph Curry has been doing that. You know, of course, every legend, every star gets stumbles and whatever. But it's how you pick them up. It's how you pick yourself up, the mentality to keep going. Steph Curry, you know, it surpasses, you know, what you would think he would. You know, recently he's been playing golf. This is just a side note. And his shooting was remarkable. He hit a hole in one. I'm not so big in golf, but the shot was remarkable, still distance shooting. I mean, I'm starting to think there might be something actually worth looking at. Something remarkable about his hand to I don't know, eye coordination or something like that. It must be remarkable. I'm not saying something superhuman, but it might be something worth looking into, because I think he is by far the most exciting you know, sports person with regards to what he does. You know, it's quite interesting what he could do. You know, imagine if Fedra could do something remarkable with something else, but that would be of the same artistry, as he would say in tennis. I mean, I don't know how to explain that, but I hope I made some bit of sense there. But Steph Curry's story is totally remarkable. Turned around the Warriors organization. It's now a billion-dollar entity. I mean, this guy, I mean, look, you know the whole saying, look at him, you know, Steph Curry, so inspiring. There's just something about a Steph Curry that's incredibly, you know, superhuman to some level, you know. on the basketball side of things, he's had to evolve, I would say. I talk about the evolution of the player, and having been able to watch Djokovic, I'd say Messi as well, I'd say him as well, LeBron too. There's an evolution with stars, and if you're only infatuated enough with the sport and those who craft it, it might be hard to miss. But the evolution of a player is remarkable. The him sort of, I think Stephen A talked about LeBron having gotten that confidence that, oh, I can dominate games, I can dominate playoffs. Was a bit way before Kobe and Jordan got it, and that was Stephen Smith. That was his idea of why he thinks Jordan gets it. But all those to me are all traits of a star, of a player, of a him kind of character. It sort of kind of develops, but maybe with the greatest, it's always there, or already there inbuilt. And Steph having had to evolve it, I see the Steph that won against the Celtics a completely different beast to the one that won in 2015 or 2016. But he's always had it in him. He just had to channel it now. I think evolution-wise, he fits the bit of an inspiring basketballer. His ability. And for anyone that's listening, try to watch him, you know. Try to watch him. He's a pretty, pretty interesting player to watch. And, hey, man, I could go all day, but I love talking about, you know, my favorite player of all time on here. And it's always an honor, Rob. It's always an honor. And, you know, hope you're doing all right, man. Peace. One love.
Alec Burks. Guarding it from the start, Wiggins again. Here's Curry for the record. It's good! And there it is! Stephen Curry! The all-time three-point king in the NBA! Three-pointer, number 2974, the man who changed the game, the igniter of the three-point revolution in the NBA, and now he stands alone at the top of the three-point list.
And you think about this, the way he changed the game, it's almost like how Babe Ruth changed baseball with the long ball. He has changed the game with the three-point ball. How all 30 teams approach the game is because of number 30. And this is an absolute awesome experience to be able to witness, to see Ray Allen and now Stephen Curry, and an emotional hug here with his father, Dell Curry.
Saw Dell, saw his mother Sonia. Bob McKillop, his college coach at Davidson, is here as well. The man standing right next to Coach McKillop is Larry Riley. He was the man who drafted Stephen Curry as a member of the Golden State Warriors. What a moment this must be.
And the degree of difficulty, right? Doesn't matter if you've got one, two, three guys on him. Alec Burks closing quickly. A long three as Curry holds the record. There's Sonia, his mother, in attendance as well. Quick release, nothing but the bottom.
What a moment. And here he comes, an embrace with Ray Allen.
Ray Allen broke Reggie Miller's record in 2011. It was February 10th. And now Stephen Curry breaks Ray Allen's record. Tuesday, December 14th at Madison Square Garden, a 28-footer. Stephen Curry, the all-time three-point champion here in the NBA. Stay tuned as Under Armour pays tribute to Steph Curry, the best three-point shooter in NBA history.
First and foremost, I want to make a correction before I comment on my brother Kevin from Uganda's voice note. It wasn't Reggie Miller's record that Steph Curry broke in December of 2021. It was Ray Allen's record for most three-pointers ever made. And I'm glad that that was the case, early signs of dementia. Reason I said Reggie Miller was when the documentary started, they were talking to Reggie Miller. Reggie Miller there was on hand. It was Ray Allen who's the record that Steph Curry beat. How could I forget that? Especially since I can't stand fucking Reggie Miller. And I love Ray Allen. Ray Allen, one, in my opinion, Ray Allen has one of the most beautiful, if not the most beautiful, jump shot in basketball NBA history. Reggie Miller, while a great shooter, you could say Reggie Miller anywhere from top 5 to top 10 greatest pure shooter in the history of the sport. That 3-point shot is ugly. It's not as beautiful as Steph's. It's not as beautiful as Ray Allen's. It's not as beautiful as Larry Bird's. So it was apropos that Steph Curry broke Ray Allen's record, because to be honest with you, Reggie Miller's not a pimple on either Ray Allen or Steph Curry's ass when it comes to overall talent on a basketball court. Reggie Miller was a better version of Del Curry. Ray Allen and Steph Curry are two of the greatest guards I've ever seen in my entire life of watching basketball. Okay, and like I mentioned early in the podcast, in the last 15 years, the two best players that have played the last 15 years total, and I'm not including Kobe and Duncan because they were all but done in early 2010s. Well, Duncan still won. Duncan won a championship in 2014. So you can't totally discard Tim Duncan, even though he's more of a role player when he won that last championship. But that being said, the last 15 years, the two best basketball players on the planet are LeBron James and Steph Curry, period, end of story. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear any other arguments. It's over. It's over as far as who the two greatest players of the last 15 years are, period, end of story. Now, great job done by Kevin. Kevin and Thomas are probably the two biggest Steph Curry fans on the planet, and they did a thorough job of explaining the greatness of Steph Curry. They did a better job, and Thomas and I on our Part 1 podcast did a better job than this documentary did of detailing Steph's entire career, period. The documentary was okay. It was fun to watch. I enjoyed it, but an hour and 15 minutes is nowhere near enough to talk about Steph Curry's career. Even the way they did it, they were juxtaposing his 2022 season with his college career, how he was given up on before he started college, and how he was given up on with clowns like Stephen A. Smith and Mad Dog Russo saying he couldn't be the number one guy on the team, or he was never going to win another championship after all the injuries and KD left, and he proved them wrong. He's been underrated his entire career. He's no longer underrated. Him winning the finals, MVP, winning a championship, his fourth with the Golden State Warriors in 2022, not only stamped him as one of the two greatest players of the last 15 years, but stamped his legacy. And I told this to Thomas, and I mentioned this on the podcast, part one, as being in my top 10 since I started watching basketball, NBA players of all time since 1977. Steph got that 10th spot. All right. He's in my top 10, and he can only climb more, especially if he wins another championship or two. We'll see what happens with the addition of Chris Paul. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to finish this podcast with my brother, another brother from Chattanooga, Tennessee, Michael Angel. He's going to talk about the greatness of Steph Curry, why Steph Curry is just a wonder, words cannot describe how much of an anomaly Steph Curry is. Steph Curry took the blueprint that a Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf and Allen Iverson put out there. He combined the two talents, in my opinion, and he is a hybrid of Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf and Allen Iverson. Steph Curry's numbers speak for themselves. His championships speak for themselves. And he's as great, if not greater, off the court than he is on the court. It showed in the documentary how when he's trying to finish his degree from Davidson, that he was writing a thesis on the importance of women's athletics. Steph Curry has two daughters and a wonderful wife in Aisha, who's also a great mom. And of course, the love he has for his mother and his grandmothers. Steph Curry is a champion of women. He's a champion of women's athletics. And I love to see more about that later on. Ladies and gentlemen, this documentary does not do justice to the man that Steph Curry is. And I hope that one day he gets a Michael Jordan-like 5-to-10-part, a Magic Johnson-like 5-to-10-part documentary series on his life and his career, because he deserves that. One of the greatest players I've ever seen in my entire lifetime. He's a magician on the court and a magnificent man off the court. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back next time in a few days. I'm going on a trip to Niagara Falls with my lady. Maybe when I come back or before I leave. I'm not going to do the Niagara Falls. But the next podcast will be on Donna Summer. We'll be reviewing her HBO documentary. I will be playing 10 to 12 of her greatest disco hits. She was the queen of disco. She was the number one star doing disco. She was disco. Donna Summer next on the Legends of Sports and Music. All right, before we hand it over to Mike and some more highlights of the 2022 NBA Finals, I want everybody out there to continue to be blessed and be a blessing.
I was very slow to come around on the Steph Curry is one of the greatest players of all time bandwagon. I guess it was the old school appreciation in me. And plus, you know, me not being a big fan of the way the game is played now, but he's made a believer out of me. You know, guys like Curry, especially in college, I've seen a lot of his type. And what I mean by that is, you know, kind of like the way the NBA was played, you know, everybody had, you know, if you were 6'3 and under, pretty much, you know, you were a point guard. Most of the point guards pass first, you know, and then you look for your shot. In college, especially, you have a lot of tweeners who excel in the college game. You look at, you know, Lindsey Hunter, Hollywood James Robinson, who played at Alabama, Latero Green, Sean Respert at Michigan State, Randolph Childress. Those kind of guys were excellent college players, but when they came to the NBA, they had a hard time adjusting to just being, you know, a pass-first traditional point guard. By the time Curry got to the league, he already had some guys to go before him that excelled in kind of that combo guard role. Iverson, of course, made it easier for him because Iverson, you know, 5'11", 6 feet, and he wasn't your traditional guard, but Larry Brown unlocked his potential as a do-it-all guard. Of course, Chris Jackson, even though he was kind of pigeonholed in that point guard role, but still, his talent was too obvious in terms of being a shooter to where he didn't necessarily have to conform. But Curry, you know, speaking of shooting, though, that's what sets him apart. You know, coming in from Davidson, having a great college career, being under-recruited, kind of unknown, even though he was a coach's son, not a coach's son, but a player's son, you know, kind of being like an afterthought. And he brought that one special talent that we have not seen. You can run him off screens. He's one of the top five ball handlers we've seen. And you have to give Mark Jackson a lot of credit for kind of flipping the switch on him and Klay Thompson. I also have to give Steph Curry a lot of credit. I mean, his first couple of years in the league, you know, we saw glimpses of it, but he was injured a lot, and you know, but he worked his way back from those injuries, and you know, he's been dominant ever since. So I'm sold now. I mean, he is proven to, depending on the day, he's on my fringe top 10 of all time list, but he's just a guard, you know, a Jerry West, Oscar Robertson guard. He can do anything on the court. And he has ushered in a new style of play. You know, just like kids tried to emulate Dr. J in the 70s and, you know, Magic and Michael in the 80s and the 90s, the 2000s belong to Steph Curry.
Top of the backboard, which is in bounds, and Draymond Green pushing. 6 assists for Green. Curry a long three. It's good! Steph Curry from way downtown! Some Curry chaos here on the third. It's the largest lead of the game.
And maybe some second shots.
Curry again. Oh, Steph Curry from way downtown! He's furious. There was contact there. Curry, long three-pointer. It's good! And the foul! Steph Curry with a chance for a four-point play. Golden State with another stop, trying to close out this third quarter better than they did in game one. Curry! Cooking! A colossal three!
No, but look on the screen. Otto Porter with a... Tice is dropping. You cannot guard him like that. You have...
Hands it off to Curry. Goes around the world. Oh, so much!
And the craftiness, the size and strength, the ability to eliminate elite defenders, and then finishing in traffic. Al Horford not up high enough.
Curry launches a three, puts it in! Steph Curry lighting it up here in the third! Klay Thompson. Curry sidestep, three-pointer. It's good! Steph Curry from downtown! And the lead back up to 19.
That wasn't even a screen. Marcus Smart bails out and forces Al Horford to defend Curry.
Curry against Horford, gets past him inside, off the glass again!
And so he's going one-on-one, and like, they're just staring at. They don't really have a roll game.
Curry gets free. Gets some contact. Layup, got it, and one! Steph Curry felt the bump. Brown picks up his third, and a chance for a three-point play.
He is a unique individual and a gifted, along with the all-time greats, talent.
And that's strength right there, too.
playing through the contact of Jaylen Brown.
Jason Tatum had three goals coming into the season. He wanted to be top five MVP, first team All-NBA, check, and make the all-defensive team. Well, they still need to find Steph Curry. Curry, another long-distance shot. It's good. Steph Curry, back-to-back long-distance threes and a five-point lead for the Warriors. Celtics call timeout. And Steph with a little bit of pace into the front court. Behind the screen. Steph Curry locked in.
The Warriors, for the first time, go small with one big on the floor in Looney. A bunch of shooters and scorers.
Williams looks at that three, and he laces it. The Denver series, former finals MVP, still a key part of this Warriors lineup. Curry behind the screen. Oh, they lost him again. And he makes them pay. He's hotter than fish grease. 5-3.
That's saying a lot. He's been all over the floor on both sides of the court.
Had a good game five, but an excellent start here in six. Steph Curry once again dancing and prancing in the paint. And a lead of 16, largest of the first half.
But I love the physical nature of it and the team spirit.
What's icing?
I don't know. That's when they chuck it way down the court.
Curry chucks it up and puts it in.
You know, the Warriors, you got to do a better job of containing the basketball.
Curry, step back jumper, got it. 14 points for Curry.
Shots, he's 5-for-7 for three and 2-for-9 from two.
Curry working against Horford, took his ankles. Not ready to give him back either. Relocates. Light work. Little light work for Steph Curry.
Not trying to do too much. Okay. Closes the space. All right, get out my way and let me win my matchup. Jab step, stops on a dime, give you 9 cents change.
Named after the Celtic Hall of Famer. Curry, oh, court with a beautiful movement off the glass. Smart harassing. Curry now has Williams on him, looking to unload it. Flips it up, shot is good. Steph Curry dancing, prancing, and puts it in. And the Warriors up by three.
And he is elevating versus trying to draw contact and foul.
Curry steps back. Two-pointer for Curry. That's good. Steph Curry just with a foot on the line. Wild comeback here for the Celtics. Curry. Scoop shot. Little bit of jelly. Curry to Green. Back to Curry. Step back. Three-pointer. Bang! Steph Curry drills the three. That's a six-point Warrior.
Curry was able to get just enough room from White to knock in another incredible.
Boy, what a great story. They leave Curry all alone, and that's lethal. Deadly. Love Carmelo Anthony. Love Chauncey Billups when he was in Denver. As Curry drives, layup off the glass is good. Another one of those circus shots from Steph Curry.
How about the finish? Steph Curry. These are shots he works on every single day. He puts himself in position by his work habit, his work ethic, to knock down shots.
7 seconds to go for Curry on Pritchard. Tice hedging. Curry in his bag. Got it!
They've imposed their will defensively against this Warrior team.
Curry looking for some room, but Brown on him. Curry the drive, throws it up and in. What a beautiful floater. They've got 9 offensive rebounds already here in the first half. Curry sees some room, nails a three. Steph Curry, his second three-pointer.
How about Steph Curry? Gets White in the air. Fly by, makes him pay the price. We're witnessing greatness.
Curry to Payton. Three-pointer, right side is good. Brown. And Curry with the rebound. Down double digits.
They need to stop here off this Thompson layup.
That's what Steve Kerr was so upset with in game three. He said we just didn't box out. They got crushed on the boards.
Curry. It's good. Steph Curry from downtown.
And here's the shot we're talking about. You're right. Robert Williams got to affect Steph Curry coming off that screen, but good job by Derek White fighting over the screen and contesting.
That's some good action after what was kind of a ragged first half. Curry, shuffle pass, Peyton, the layup is good.
More resistance in a practice shot than that.
Steph Curry out of the timeout. Good way to settle things down. And good tonight defense by Smart. Curry, man, he had to work for that bucket, Jeff.
First half was Boston's 11 turnovers. He said, we had seven when I talked to you after the first quarter.
Getting into the paint.
Curry against White. Curry drives, good help defense from Grant Williams, but not good enough. And a gorgeous banker there from Steph Curry. Eight offensive boards for the Celtics. Curry drives on Tatum, gets inside, the beautiful left hand.
And Curry's drive, as Mark said, good job getting to that left hand.
Much needed offense from somebody else, and Wiggins has provided.
Gary Payton pokes it away. Payton, the elite defender off the bench. Curry steps back, three-pointer, got it. Steph Curry, his first three. Trying to fight through that screen, slow to get up. Off the offensive rebound. Wiggins, nobody near him, connects on a three.
Gives Curry the space he needs, and then Looney, terrific offensive rebound. Curry drives it, and a nice play to Wiggins.
Curry drives on Smart, gets inside, left-handed, banks it home. 23 for Curry.
That was all created, that space, by an excellent cut by Tatum.
Curry to Payton. Payton had all the time in the world. Curry, three-pointer, puts it in. 33 for Steph Curry. Wiggins looking to post up Tatum. Curry launches a three. It's good. Steph Curry with his third three-pointer.
Well, look at Williams guarding the screener Looney. Back in the paint, which gives
Tatum on Curry. Around the Porter screen. Somebody throw water on Steph Curry.
Recipe for disaster, how you're defending. Comes off the screen, nobody home. Pay the price. It's Steph Curry with the shot.
Finals experience for the Warriors' advantage. And there's one of the main guys. Steph Curry missing his first three. Reloads. Relocates.
Sent the 2022 Bill Russell NBA Finals Most Valuable Player Award.
Thank you, Lisa. He's a four-time NBA champion, a two-time league MVP, a member of our 75th anniversary team, and for the first time ever, he's an NBA Finals MVP. The 2022 Bill Russell NBA Finals MVP Award goes to Stephen Curry.
Talk about this. What does it mean to you to finally get this Finals MVP?
It means we won. It means we took advantage of the opportunity of getting back here. And I mean, I hear all the conversations. I hear all the chatter. We hear all the chatter. At the end of the day, it's about what we do on the floor. I ain't got to talk about it. Just got to go do it. And that's what this is about.
You said it during our post-game interview just three seasons ago. You guys had the worst record in the league. At what point did you believe that you could be back up here on the stage?
You always had a doubt, but you know how long the road is to get back here because of how hard it is to win on this level. Boston's a great team. Every team we played in the West is a great team. But we found a way to just get it done. And everybody on the stage had a part in this. From the front office coaches, players, at the beginning of the year, what were they saying? We weren't even on the radar. And now we're here with two trophies, and it means a lot.
Every championship journey is different. How would you describe this one?
Just combining our championship pedigree and our experience with some fresh energy, some guys that are really hungry to take their next step. But we've built this for 10, 11 years. And that means a whole lot when you get to the stage because you know how to win. And everybody who's been a part of this knows what that's about. So this one hits different. This one hits different for sure.
Congratulations to you, Steph. Where's